Father will make it all right, Meg thought. Everything will be all right now. Charles did not move toward the outstretched arms. He stood a few feet away from his father, and he did not look at him. "Look at me," Mr. Murray commanded. "No." Mr. Murray's voice became harsh. "When you speak to me, you will say, 'No, Father,' or 'No, sir.'" "Come off it, Pop," came the cold voice from Charles Wallace. Charles Wallace, who, outside Camazotz, had been strange, had been different, but never rude. "You're not the boss around here." Meg could see Calvin pounding again on the glass wall. "Calvin," she called. "He can't hear you," Charles said. He made a horrible face at Calvin, and then he thumbed his nose. "Who's Calvin?" Mr. Murray asked. "He's..." Meg started, but Charles Wallace cut her short. "You'll have to defer your explanations. Let's go."
"Go where?"
"To it." "No," Mr. Murray said. "You can't take Meg there." "Oh, can't I?" "No, you cannot. You're my son, Charles, and I'm afraid you will have to do as I say." "But he isn't Charles," Meg cried in anguish. Why didn't her father understand? "Charles is nothing like that, Father. You know he's nothing like that."
"He was only a baby when I left," Mr. Murray said heavily.
"Father, it's it talking through Charles. It isn't Charles. He's bewitched."
"Fairy tales again," Charles said.
"You know it, Father?" Meg asked.
"Yes."
"Have you seen it?"
"Yes, Meg." Again his voice sounded exhausted. "Yes, I have." He turned to Charles.
"You know she wouldn't be able to hold out."
"Exactly," Charles said.
"Father, you can't talk to him as though he were Charles. Ask Calvin. Calvin will tell you."
"Come along," Charles Wallace said. "We must go." He held up his hand carelessly and walked out of the cell, and there was nothing for Meg and Mr. Murray to do but to follow. As they stepped into the corridor, Meg caught at her father's sleeve.
"Calvin, here's Father."
Calvin turned anxiously toward them. His freckles and his hair stood out brilliantly against his white face.
"Make your introductions later," Charles Wallace said. "It does not like to be kept waiting."
He walked down the corridor, his gait seeming to get more jerky with each step. The others followed, walking rapidly to keep up.
"Does your father know about the Mrs. W's?" Calvin asked Meg. "There hasn't been time for anything. Everything's awful."
Despair settled like a stone in the pit of Meg's stomach. She had been so certain that the moment she found her father, everything would be all right. Everything would be settled. All the problems would be taken out of her hands. She would no longer be responsible for anything. And instead of this happy and expected outcome, they seemed to be encountering all kinds of new troubles.
"He doesn't understand about Charles," she whispered to Calvin, looking unhappily at her father's back as he walked behind the little boy.
"Where are we going?" Calvin asked.
"To it. Calvin, I don't want to go. I can't."
She stopped, but Charles continued his jerky pace.
"We can't leave Charles," Calvin said. "They wouldn't like it."
"Who wouldn't?" "Mrs. Watson and Co."
"But they betrayed us. They brought us here to this terrible place and abandoned us."
Calvin looked at her in surprise. "You sit down and give up if you like," he said. "I'm sticking with Charles." He ran to keep up with Charles Wallace and Mr. Murray.
"I didn't mean..."
Meg started and pounded after them. Just as she caught up with them, Charles Wallace stopped and raised his hand, and there was the elevator again, its yellow light sinister. Meg felt her stomach jerk as the swift descent began. They were silent until the motion stopped, silent as they followed Charles Wallace through long corridors and out onto the street. The central intelligence building loomed up, stark and angular behind them.
"Do something," Meg implored her father silently. "Do something. Help. Save us."
They turned a corner, and at the end of the street was a strange dome-like building. Its walls glowed with a flicker of violet flame. Its silvery roof pulsed with ominous light. The light was neither warm nor cold, but it seemed to reach out and touch them. This, Meg was sure, must be where it was waiting for them. They moved down the street, more slowly now, and as they came closer to the dome building, the violet flickering seemed to reach out, to envelop them, to suck them in. They were inside.